Welcome to the Daily Devotion with Pastor Terry Reynolds.
It's so good to be with you today as we continue along. Yesterday we left off the story in Mark in chapter 9, and today we're to continue along in Mark chapter 9 as we were talking about the importance Jesus was putting on servanthood, that we represent him well as they were struggling, trying to figure out who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Of course, they were looking at an earthly kingdom. They were hoping that Jesus would overthrow or lead an army to overthrow the Roman government. They couldn't quite understand that he came first to suffer and to die and to rise from again and rise again from the dead, and that his purpose was to introduce us to the kingdom of God, the eternal kingdom that we once again will see reigning here upon this earth. But they didn't see that. And so Jesus started illustrating to them the importance to understand through the eyes of a child, willing to serve, willing to have that faith and believing. And so where we left off at verse 40 yesterday, we read, it says, "For he that is not against us is part, or whosoever shall give a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to the Messiah, verily I say to you, he will not lose his reward." So again, the idea of service, just giving somebody a cup of water in the name of the Lord is an awesome thing. In verse 42, where we pick it up today, "And whosoever offend one of these little ones," of course, the child was still there with them, probably sitting on the lap of Jesus. He loved children, and the kids were attracted to him, and he was probably holding this little child in his lap, and he says, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me. How pure and how beautiful is the faith of a child. How I love when I hear kids pray or around kids and hear their laughter, their joy, and you know, they can make up games out of the littlest things and are able to amuse themselves. How beautiful the simplicity of faith that they possess. But can you imagine a person, how terrible in their mind of a person who would seek to destroy the faith of a child in Jesus? To deliberately to try to destroy the faith of a child to other believers, to misrepresent God and say, "This is what the Lord said," or "This is what the Lord is teaching," or "Don't you know, this is actually what God meant in the Bible." You know, I think it's a dangerous place when teachers get themselves where they've now become, really what they're trying to do is try to place the Holy Spirit in our lives and telling us what we should believe. And there's always a danger in that, because God has given us his Holy Spirit, and he said that he would lead us into all truth. And if you've been underneath a pastor or teacher, you're in a Bible study group where, you know, something just doesn't seem right, I would highly encourage you to find a good Bible teaching from across the country, any place that you're living. I was just with a good man that here this past week that's from Plymouth, Massachusetts, and he's a good Bible teacher, verse-by-verse teaching teachers, and there's teachers around, but if you're around somebody that just isn't teaching the Word of God, but rather giving them your opinion, I would encourage you to move on. Find a good Bible teacher that's just going to simply talk about Jesus. And then he really spoke harshly, even as he's going to say later on in Matthew, in fact, Matthew chapter 23, concerning the Pharisees and the hypocrites that he calls them at that time, who were misrepresenting God. He said, "Woe unto them." And now he's talking about those who would teach and mislead the children of God, or the, in this case, his child. He says, "It would be better. It'd be better a millstone were hanged around your neck and were cast into the sea." And of course, Jesus is getting pretty rough here, because a millstone was a grinding stone, if you could picture it, where you would put your grain on this block, and they would use this huge stone to crush over it in order that they might get their meal from. And normally a millstone would weigh some 500 pounds. Can you imagine that around your neck? Obviously, to destroy a faith of a child or a child of God, a believer, You're going to be facing the anger of the Lord. And then he goes on, he says, in fact, if your right hand offend thee, cut it off. Well, of course, this is such a difficult, difficult passage. It's so easily to misunderstand. And it's never been that Jesus was speaking literally, but he's painting a picture. He's speaking about the importance of giving your whole life over to the Lord. Nothing exceeds the importance to your life other than entering into the kingdom of God, not allowing things to get into your way. And so he's kind of using this shock idea, you know, these shocking words to get your attention that God is serious about the things that he tells us to do and the things that we should do and not be doing. He says, better for you to enter into eternal life maimed than having two hands and going into hell. Or Gehenna is actually the word in the Greek, and this is not Hades, but it's that Greek word Gehenna. Gehenna was related to the valley of Hinnom, with the valley that runs down the southern side of the city of Jerusalem. If you could picture the city of Jerusalem, it is the valley in which King Ahaz built idols unto the god Molech, and they had their fires and their bonfires, and people would take their unwanted babies, and this is hard to imagine, and they would throw them into the bonfire as sacrifice to Molech. They didn't have abortion procedures in those times, so they would just take those live babies and throw them into these fires. And it's amazing what people can do when they're just given over to their own self, the horrifying thought of what they would do. Later, Manasseh came along, even more wicked than Ahaz, and he continued this horrible, horrible practice there in that valley. So when Josiah came to the throne and instituted a spiritual reform, he made the Valley of Hinnom a garbage dump for the city. He wanted to make it a profane place that they would where they had worshiped the false god. He wanted to profane it and allow it to become a garbage dump in the city. And all the garbage of the city was cast in the Valley of Hinnom, and there was a constant burning of the garbage, constant smoke coming from this valley as the garbage was burned. The rotten carcass of the animals and so forth that you could picture that was in the garbage, a very graphic thing that Jesus is using to describe the place of punishment for those who have rejected God's love. God's invitation to salvation through Jesus Christ is for everybody. He says it, but it's better. Don't allow anything to get into your way, into that fire that never shall be quenched. As he tells us there in verse 43, he says, be careful. Be careful that you put God first. Revelation chapter 14, he tells us actually in verse 11, the smoke of their torment ascended forever and ever. It's such a horrifying picture. And then as he goes on, he tells us here in verse 45, he says, if your foot offends you, cut it off. Better that you go into enter lame into life than having 2 feet then cast into Gehenna, into the fire that shall never quench, where the worm does die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes and be cast in Gehenna, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Of course, he's again painting a picture, not to be taken literally, but talking about the really, you know, importance of doing things that are right, that we would live for God, that we would serve him. As he goes on and he says, for everyone shall be salted with fire. Every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, where will it be seasoned? He says, we're good for something. Our life should be like that. We should be pleasing before the Lord. Peter said, beloved, count it not a strange concerning the fiery trials which try you, though some strange thing has happened to you. He's talking about the trials of your faith.
more precious than gold, than perishes when it is tried with fire. So the purpose of the fire was to burn off the dross from the gold, you know, burn off our unbelief, the things that we don't trust in Him. I don't like trials, but I understand trials. In fact, James tells us in James chapter 1, he says, count it all joy when you go through various trying, through various trials. He says, knowing that God's doing a work. He says, and let that work, or let God have its perfect work within you. Otherwise, learn as you're going through to trust God and rely upon Him. He says, these trials have a purpose, James tells us, that we might be perfect and lacking nothing, that we'll learn to trust in God, that we'll learn to depend on Him. You know, like I said, as we opened up, Jesus said some tough words. We had some tough words here, didn't we, about the importance of living for God. As he said, we went the last verse in verse 50, he says, have your salt within yourself and have peace with one with another. As that salt is that thing that causes us to be thirsty for God, and our life are so shining when they see our lives, they're going to glorify God and people are going to want to know the Lord. And God wants us to enjoy that peace that we have with Him. And so as we look at these verses, some of them are tough, but it's really talking about priority, isn't it? To make sure that we don't allow things to get in the way, that we don't worry about our kingdom like the disciples were talking about who's going to be greatest in the kingdom, but rather we keep our eyes on Jesus. He's got a marvelous plan for us. Our future is bright. Our future is, in fact, glorious. May we just live for Him the best we can this day. But if you might say to me, say, Pastor Terry, I've had a rough time lately. I haven't lived like I should have. Well, just talk to the Lord about it. If you've sinned and find yourself in sin, you know, the thing that's so marvelous is that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, that's ever making intercession for you. He loves you. He loves you so much. Just talk to Him. And he being your best friend. Jesus, can you picture that? Jesus is your best friend. He'll help you. And He'll enable you to have victory over your sin. He'll bring encouragement when you're not feeling very encouraged. Maybe you're feeling hopeless today. I just pray that you might know the God of all hope, and that you might walk in fellowship with Him today. And so until tomorrow, may you be strengthened. May you be encouraged in the things that God gives you to do. May God richly bless you. Bye-bye now. Thank you for taking part in today's program. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Again, that's terryreynolds@agapechapeloc.org. Or you can write us at Agape Chapel, P.O. Box 4023, Huntington Beach, California, 92647. May God richly bless you.